The scripture reading this evening is taken from two places, one in the Old, one in the New Testament. The Old Testament is Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7. It's on page 15. And then in the New Testament, Galatians 3, 25 to 29. It's on page 1237. We're going to look at the fact that Abraham begat a son but did not conceive a son. Received a son, but didn't conceive him. That Jesus Christ is the Son and Lord of Abraham. Here in Genesis 17, the covenant of grace was established with him. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then from Galatians chapter 3, verse 25 to 29, here we read these words. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under guardians. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this passage and these truths of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you will open our minds and hearts to see the beauty of your plan of redemption. And that Jesus Christ is not only the Son and Lord of Adam, but He's the Son and Lord of Abraham. Oh Lord, bless us as we see this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ our Lord, as we saw last Sunday evening, Jesus is the Son and Lord of Adam. Jesus' genealogy in the book of Luke goes back to Adam, because Luke was written to the Gentiles. It was written to his friend Theophilus, who was Greek, in order to show that Jesus Christ is the God not only of the Jews, but also of all nations. And so this evening we're going to go on. We saw last week that the line of Adam ran stuck. It ran stuck. It ran dead. You read in Genesis chapter 6 that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thought was only evil continually. And it repented God that He even made man. And God decided to destroy everything with a flood. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Adam's race actually didn't last. It was a disaster. After the flood, it didn't get any better. After the flood, those who survived the flood, that is the children of Noah, they grew. But their descendants decided that they would never be consumed by a flood again, and so they decided to build a Tower of Babel so that they would remain together and they would not be destroyed by a flood. So they proceeded to construct the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was in the same place as the city of Babylon was many years later. The Tower of Babel was a defiance of the living God. They did not want God to rule over them. They were disobedient. They did not follow the ways of the Lord at all. And so God decided after the Tower of Babel to begin a new community, a new communion, a new family. And God chose Abraham. He told Abraham, you leave the house of your father and your mother, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. So God began anew with Abraham. Now Abraham was a human being, of course, and so he is of the seed of Adam. But God made a new beginning in the human race with Abraham. And he took him out of his father's house. Do you know why? Because his father's house were worshiping the moon. And they were idolaters too. So God took Abraham and said, you come out from your father's house and you go to the nation, to a land that I will show you. And do you know what you read? And Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There was a new beginning with Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham was one who truly believed in the word of God. And God said, I will make of you a great nation. And kings will come from you. And in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. Those were wonderful promises given to Abraham. That was a wonderful beginning, a new start in the human race with the line of Abraham. That was a beautiful thing. So Abraham left his father's house. He didn't own anything. He was a nomad. He wandered from place to place. His wife was Sarah. She had no children. She was barren. And so Abraham said, Lord, you've promised me that there would be many coming after me. Nations would come from me. And in my family, all the nations of the world would be blessed. But Lord, I don't even have one child. So how can that possibly be? And so Sarah said to him, I can't have a child, so why don't you take Hagar, my servant, and raise a child through her. So that's what Abram did. And he received a son by Sarah, whose name was Ishmael. But that was not God's plan. The seed of Abraham was not to be of the flesh. It was not to be by his own decision. And Ishmael turned out to be a great disappointment. And then the Lord came to Abraham and said, no, it's not Ishmael. I'm going to raise a family through from you through Sarah. And Sarah heard that and she laughed. How can an old, old woman have a child? Impossible. And the Lord who was with, who came to visit with Abraham, it's one of the Old Testament appearances of Christ who came to Abraham. He said, Sarah's going to have a child a year from now. And Sarah laughed, and the Lord said, Sarah, you laughed. She said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did laugh. But God gave Abraham and Sarah strength to bear and to conceive and to bear a child. And you know what the child's name was? Isaac, of course, you know that. You know what the word Isaac means? Laughter. Isn't that an irony? That Sarah laughed because she was told she'd have a child in her old age. And the Lord said, you laughed. She said, no, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. And she had a child and they named him Laughter, Isaac. Isaac. And Isaac married Rebekah, and they had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, Isaac said, oh, that Jacob and Esau would live before thee. And no, that wasn't the way it was. Esau rejected the birthright. That was his. He rejected it. So Abraham's seed is beginning to deteriorate with Esau. But Jacob, there was hope for Abraham's race in Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. And it looked promising. It looked promising. But you know how this happened. The brothers became jealous of Joseph and sold him into slavery, and he ended up in Egypt. But the Lord spoke through Joseph and helped him interpret Pharaoh's dream. And there was a great victory for the children of Jacob in the work of Joseph. So the children of Israel thrived in the land of Egypt. But that also did not last. There was a Pharaoh that arose who didn't know Joseph, and he put the Israelite children through terrible persecution. They became slaves under Egypt. And God, in his wonderful plan and providence, raised up Moses. And through Moses, he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it was wonderful. We read that the Lord took them out of the land of Egypt as on eagle's wings and brought them to Mount Sinai. And it looked so good for the children of Abraham in the family of Isaac and his 12 sons. But you know what you read? After Moses died, Joshua took the people into the land of Canaan. And it was a wonderful thing. But after Joshua died, disaster struck. A generation arose after Joshua that did not know the Lord, did not remember the great works of God. It was a terrible thing. And the book of Judges records that time in history. And in the book of Judges you read, there was no king in Israel, so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that was the story. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and they worshiped foreign gods, and it was a disaster. So Abraham's seed hit a dead end. It was really a tragedy. The book of Jeremiah kind of summarizes what happened. Jeremiah 12, verse 3. My people have committed two errors. They have rejected me, the fountain of living waters, and they have built for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. They rejected the Lord. It was a terrible, terrible thing. The children of Abraham became less and less followers of the Lord. They did not follow the Lord. They rejected the Lord. It was a terrible thing. And so Abraham's children became apostate. And they ended up in exile. It was a bad thing, a sad thing. Abraham had such a beautiful beginning, but it didn't last. Within Abraham's family, God developed the priesthood, that the priest would stand between God and man, and the priest would represent the Lord, the people to God, would present sacrifices. But that also went very bad. So the seed of Abraham was a huge disappointment. So in the fullness of time, God sent his own son. So in Abraham's race, there was a new person, a new beginning. God, as it were, said to Joseph, no, you're not going to be the father of this child. No, Abraham, you're not going to be the father of this child. No, Adam, you're not going to be the father of this child. But this child, born of the Virgin Mary, is going to be my child. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God put aside Abraham, put aside Adam. But Adam's race and Abraham's race received a son but didn't conceive a son. The angel came to Mary and said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, so the holy thing that is born of you shall be called the Son of God. And he's the Son of God. According to the flesh, he's the son of Adam. He's the son of Abraham. He's the son of David and all of his ancestors. But they received a son, but didn't conceive a son. The son came directly from the work of God through the Virgin Mary. And the Lord Jesus, he is the one who fulfills the promise which was made to Abraham. You see, as in all covenants, there are contained two parts. You remember those words from the form for the sacrament of baptism. As in all covenants, there are contained two parts. The one part is the promise of God, and that promise of God was given to Abraham. But on the other side of that covenant is human responsibility. God said to Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. But that's where the line of Abraham fell very short. In fact, they failed. They didn't obey the word of the Lord. Again and again you read of this throughout the Old Testament, that my people have rejected me. They have built idols. They have followed other gods. They have not been faithful to my covenant. What a sad and tragic thing that was in the family of Abraham. And so in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who is the true son of Abraham. He came and he fulfilled exactly what Abraham's seed never did. That is to fulfill the responsibilities of the covenant. To have faith, to believe, to live according to the word of God. You remember how it says it in the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That is how the covenant child is to live. To obey the Lord, to love him, to serve him, to do his will. That's the covenant responsibility. The whole Ten Commandments is couched within the covenant and within the covenantal relationship. I am the Lord your God. I took you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall have no other gods before me. And all the rest of the commandments. It's the response to God's grace. God's grace comes to us. Why did God choose Abraham? It was not because Abraham deserved it. It was not because he earned it. He and his family were moon worshipers. They were not followers of the Lord at all. Do you know why God chose Abraham? Out of sovereign grace alone. Like the song says, 'tis not that I did choose thee. For Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee. Hadst thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me hast cleansed and set me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live for thee. It's all of grace. And the call of Abraham was indeed all of grace. Abraham received a son, did not conceive him. Jesus is the son of Abraham, and he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There was a new order of priesthood. The old priesthood of Aaron, which was of the line of the Old Testament of Abraham, and that was replaced. There's a new priesthood, and it's called the priesthood forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the new covenant. As Malachi 3 verse 1 says, behold, I send my messenger. He will be of the new covenant. God's promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That covenant of grace includes all those who believe. Like it says in Galatians, those who are in Christ are Abraham's seed according to his promise, according to God's promise. So Jesus is the Son and the Lord of Abraham. Now there are wonderful implications of this. Abraham is the father of the Jewish race. We are generally all Gentiles. So where does that leave us? As the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, we who are Gentiles are grafted into the root of God's people. We are grafted in. And it's not by works, it's by faith, and it's by grace. As Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. We are grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. We are grafted in so that the life of Christ comes into us through that grafting. We saw that this morning with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The bread which we break is a picture and a pledge of the body of Christ. What do we do with it? We take it and we eat it. It becomes part of us. That's a picture of the relationship between Jesus Christ and us. That He dwells within us. And His blood is in us through faith. That's why we can say, I am not my own, but I belong with body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has fully atoned for all my sin. He incorporates us into His body by faith, through grace alone. And then there's that new covenant. As we saw in the Lord's Supper, this is the new covenant in my blood. That new covenant that God had made with Abraham was replaced by a new covenant in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are engrafted into His family. So that Christ is our Savior, our Lord, our Master and Friend. And we are His children, grafted in to His family only by grace and through faith. And this priesthood, the priesthood that was with Aaron, the priesthood that was following the line of Abraham, that priesthood also ran stuck. And so the Lord Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's a new order. You know how it goes. In the book of Hebrews, it's all about this, that Jesus is a better and eternal high priest. The priesthood of Aaron, they had to do the priesthood in a tabernacle, and it had to repeat it day after day or year after year. But the priesthood of Jesus Christ is once for all. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is finished. The price has been paid." And so his priesthood is forever. And the priesthood of Aaron, they took the blood of bulls and goats and presented it to the Lord. But Jesus gives His own blood. His blood satisfies for all our sins. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's a new priesthood. Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And it was through the priests of the Old Testament that they came into God's presence. They prayed like the priest would pray for them. But Jesus says, I am the new and living way. As He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. We don't need a priest. We have a priest, and it's Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So we have access into the very presence of the Lord. By faith and prayer, we come to Him and He hears us and He loves us and He desires the fellowship of His people. So Jesus is the son indeed of Abraham, but He's the Lord of Abraham. He's so much better than Abraham ever was. He's so much better than Abraham's children ever was. Jesus is the true seed of Abraham. And it is in Him, in Jesus Christ, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was once for all. And so we have that continual assurance that Jesus Christ has paid it all. All to Him I owe. He suffered that we might have life and have it abundantly. Is this your assurance? Do you know this? Is this the conviction of your heart? You know, this morning as we took the Lord's Supper, we were assured that Christ's body and blood were broken and shed for us, and that we have that assurance that we are not our own, but we belong to Him. And that's the wonderful assurance that we have, that Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts tonight. We thank You that You are the Son and Lord of Abraham, and that You fulfilled all of the requirements and all of the responsibilities of the covenant. You fulfilled them all, so that in Christ Jesus we are a new creature. The old is past, the new has come. Lord, work in our hearts with Thy Spirit. Forgive all of our sins. May we grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Keep us, O Lord, in the hollow of Your hand. Bless us this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.